Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
This hour was brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Twin Peaks, full-service bar, features an extensive selection of drafts served at 29 degrees. Mugs, head for Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Thank you. Shea Pepler, Danny Zetterman, Christopher Bleck, Tracy Butler, Rick Hahn, Patrick Kane. Most importantly, thank you out there for listening. Crosstalk is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Wolves that comes with a $5,000 signing bonus? In addition to the $5,000 signing bonus, you want to meet and greet with Wolves players, a suite for 10 guests to a game, Wolves merchandise, and a VIP arena tour. You have to visit the Sprint store in Niles this Saturday, 1 to 3, and win the Sprint Power Play Payday. Go to ChicagoWolves.com/Sprint for more information. We are winners. We are the Wolves. And that sounds really freaking cool.
It does. I used to go to Wolves games all the time when I was a kid.
I adopted my dog at a Wolves game.
Nice.
Yoshi.
You did?
Yes. Brett and I were there. I dropped the puck for charity. And Brett and I were at the Cruelty Society, had a booth. And we went back toward the end of the game about 5 minutes ago. He said, "Can we go see the dogs again?" We went back, and there was this little tiny dog. And Brett picks him up. And this dog doesn't lick anybody. And he licks his face. He's like, "Can I have this dog?" I'm like, "We have two dogs at home." The answer's no. And as we're leaving, I said to the guy, "What are you going to do with that beautiful little dog?" He said, "I'm putting him down tomorrow." He said, "I get 40,000 strays a year. What do you want me to do with him? He's going to be euthanized tomorrow." And I'm like, "Wait a second. You're going to kill that awesome dog? Hang on." I took a picture with my phone. I texted it to my wife. I go, "Can I save this dog?" She's like, "Yeah, what's one more? Bring him home." And that dog, that night, my wife said, "I am not getting up in the middle of the night with that dog yelping in the crate to go out." So she held him in her arms. Yoshi's 12, and he has slept between us every night for 12 years.
That's cute. I love that.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Again, go to the Wolves thing. You can go try and win the Sprint Power Play Payday. Visit the Sprint store in Niles this Saturday from 1 to 3 and go to ChicagoWolves.com/Sprint for more information. ChicagoWolves.com/Sprint for more information. And that leads us to Carmen and Yurko for Crosstalk at Public House. Hello, boys. You had a very entertaining show yesterday. Mike Holmgren was awesome. Yes. Van Gundy, awesome. So
thank you.
I'm a big fan, but you guys were awesome.
Today's going to stink, I guess, because yesterday was too awesome. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, everything is awesome.
How's your crowd over there, Public House?
Oh, it's nonstop here, kid. We've got what we would call a lunchtime crowd just kind of sneaking in.
That's
here.
Right.
I
yes.
told Cap I wanted to walk over there during the break.
The weather stinks.
And just join you. And he said, "Yeah, have at it. Bye." I'm like, "Okay, guess we'll stay here."
I love that voice. I have to work. I've got other stuff. I got to go to Sox Fest.
Yeah.
I'm going to Sox Fest tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Carmen, are you feeling the energy?
I am, and I'm going to feel it tomorrow, I'm sure, and there's a buzz for the first time in a long time about this team. We're going to talk to Brooks Boyer in like 45 minutes, tell us about the weekend.
We always have tremendous ideas for him.
Yeah, we always like to pitch a good idea or two. We had the great idea for when the Astros come to town. MLB can't touch that. Brooks can't talk about it. Right. They're on a strict gag order from the commissioner, Rob
Manfred. What's the idea again?
Mini trash cans with a wooden spoon or something. You bang on the trash cans all game.
That would be awesome.
Yes, of course.
So he told us that Major League Baseball wouldn't let him do it. I go, "How about Oscar the Grouch giveaways
in a garbage can?
Or how about outside we do a tailgate in the parking lot and Carmen and Yurko garbage cans and wooden spoons are given away?"
I would do, but then they probably won't let you bring it into the stadium.
No, then people will think that you're trash. They'll be like, "Why are you giving us? Do you guys think you're
trash?"
Yeah,
that's true. They might not get it. Yeah, if they don't know about the Houston Astros cheating scandal, they might not get it.
They'll be very confused. It's a bad
We're idea men, though. We always have ideas.
I like that.
Sure. Yeah.
So we had Rick Hahn on today, and I was over at the Rate yesterday, and I got to tell you, big buzz around the White Sox. I mean, they're talking playoffs. They're talking more. multiple championships. They're talking parades.
Yeah. Let's not get carried away with multiple championships. Right, let's just get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, right. Maybe above 500. Yeah. Let's set the bar
low. I'll take an 84-win season, to be honest. I would be, I don't know, it's easy for me to say in January on a cold, rainy day. Like, if they're a game out on September 1st and they collapse, I think I'll be pretty upset. But I think I'll take an 84-win season if they just make it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and they can beat. I mean,
let's face
I'll take that.
You've got a Minnesota team that won 101 games.
I know. They won a lot of games.
A team that won 93. Your Pocota numbers are going to come out to about 84, maybe 82.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be realistic. I heard Rick Renteria talking about, I expect to compete for the playoffs. Baby steps, guys. Let's put one foot in front of the other. Soon we'll be walking out the door and maybe knocking on the playoff door. But let's not get crazy here.
But I think that Ricky might know, though, this is like his year to capitalize on some opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, there might be more of a microscope on Ricky this year than there has been in, I mean, I don't know, pick a number.
Probably in any year of his managerial career,
exactly.
Right? I mean, this will be the first time that a team is actually expected to
win
and compete and be good. And he is going to be under the microscope more, absolutely.
It's question.
A little easier to do the job when nobody expects anything out of you and you're going out and winning 67
games every year. But is it as much fun to do the job when we got no chance? Like now, hey, man, pressure and expectations are a good thing.
I agree. It should be. And it should be embraced. They should all be embracing it, and I think they are. And this will be the first time in a long time that there's a buzz about the Sox. So, and you can make your jokes. I know plenty of Cup fans out there are going to make their jokes no matter what. That's fine. We can handle it.
Or go win a World Series. You know what you say? Take that.
Even that, they'll still say nobody. You know, I've heard it all. I heard it all in 2005 and in 2006, you know.
What
it's
jokes?
Fine.
Nobody? Are you saying nobody cares? Is that the joke?
Exactly. The Cubs can make all the jokes that they want.
It's
but.
The 7 million people that were at the parade. Remember how they announced 7 million people?
They did not announce 7 million people were at the parade.
I mean, there weren't 7 million people. You're lucky if you had 75 grand.
I think they announced 7. I think they announced 1 million, but even that was high. The White Sox, didn't they? Or the city? Or somebody said there were 1 million people at the parade?
Yeah, the Cubs and the city of Chicago said there were 5 million at the Cubs parade.
How big of a number 5 million
is? And that was the seventh largest gathering of humans in the history of the world.
That's nonsense.
Possibility. It didn't happen.
Why aren't you talking into your microphone, by the way?
I am talking into my microphone. You're like this. I apologize.
I can barely hear you.
I feel like a rock and roller There we go. I'm sorry.
Rock and roller. There's no way there were 5 million people at the parade. Do you know how big of a number 5 million is? Please. There were not 5 million people at any parade.
I'm not saying there was or wasn't. I'm just telling you what the police said.
The police?
The entire population of the city of Chicago is 3 million. 5 million?
Yeah, but there are
8 million
fans
in the Chicago area.
Okay, and you're telling me 5 million? Please. Let's
there
get
are
real.
Cubs fans all
don't
over the world.
Don't get triggered. I'm just telling you what the police
yes.
You love the word triggered. You use it so
but
often.
But it makes sense. Yurko and I have been saying this about every parade. The Hawks parades, the Sox parade. Stop it.
Yeah,
there were not 5 million people at anything. There weren't 1 million people at the Sox parade either. Trust me. There weren't. What did they say 1 year at one of the Blackhawks?
The Hawks one.
Yeah, 3 million. No, there weren't. There maybe
how many,
were 300,000.
How many would you say were at the Cubs parade?
I don't know, but I can tell you that it's not 5 million.
I can tell you it's well north of 1 million.
Perhaps.
You can jam.
Which is a ridiculous amount of people. That's something to be that's an impressive feat. But I love it. These parades happening. Like, there were 7 million people today. No, there weren't. There wasn't anything close.
From Kenosha to Michigan City.
Everybody. I don't know why we're arguing about parade
I know. Why
numbers,
are we arguing
so
about
silly.
The millions in parade numbers?
Hold on. I got to ask Johnny something. So did you hear what Mike Florio had to say this morning, John?
Yeah.
No, what did he say?
We talked about it yesterday a little bit.
All right, I want to play this again because people are out there, and I want people to hear this, and I would love for Yurko and Carm to get way in.
You know what? At a certain level, I think that I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting that they try to knock him out of the game. That's not what I'm saying. But at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards if you can send a message. And football is still a physical, violent game. If you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he's maybe started into his slide, when when the championship is riding on it, I think it's a different analysis. And yeah, we may give up 15 yards or half the distance to the goal line. I mean, that's the thing, Peter. If somebody had blown up Patrick Mahomes inside the five, okay, it goes from the four to the two. Right. Big deal. So again, I'm not saying that that should be part of the deliberate effort, but the Super Bowl is riding on it. And if this guy's going to think that he can just run through the defense without any physical consequence, they need to dispel him of that notion the first time he tries.
So, Johnny, what would you say? Carm, what would you guys say about what he said?
Well, the best part is when he says, I'm not saying. Well, actually, yeah, you are
exactly
saying.
That's exactly what you're saying.
That's exactly what you're saying, Mike. So I thought that was funny.
That's fine. I mean, you want to, if their quarterback's going to run and he doesn't get down, you want to go ahead and announce your presence with authority. I don't think there's any issue whatsoever.
But
with anything he said.
But I mean, what he said, and I agree with that, you want to announce your presence with authority. That's fine. But you can't take a penalty for a late cheap hit on a guy that's sliding when he's near the sidelines. Like, that's a cheap shot. That's a cheap shot, though.
Of course it is.
And then it's a penalty.
His point was, are you willing to make that sacrifice just to potentially rattle him or get him out of the game?
I don't know if you necessarily would rattle him, but the point of doing that would be to try to injure him.
Yeah.
Which is wrong.
Well, yeah, in theory it's wrong, but if you're the other team and that happens and he doesn't get to play the game, theoretically the advantage then swings in San Francisco's favor.
But why would you advocate for that? Why? In the climate of the NFL, I'm not saying you, York, I'm saying for you.
I got you.
Yeah. Like, in the climate of the NFL and the things you're trying to fix specifically with a quarterback, and name a quarterback, it doesn't necessarily have to be Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right. Why would you advocate to do that?
Again, nobody wants anybody to get injured. Nobody wants anybody to be hurt. But if that happened to happen and you benefited because of that, then so be it.
I don't think the Niners are going to take that approach, though. I think they're a physical defense just the way, because the way they play, they're quick, they're strong, they're fast. Like, in their minds, hey, if we get a chance to put a good lick on any player, they're going to put, it's still football, you put a good lick on a player.
There's also a chance that it backfires on you. There's a chance that you go ahead and you hit the guy and it backfires on you because it motivates him, and all of a sudden he starts, you know, playing fantastic.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's got the chip on the shoulder and he starts playing fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always said that, why wouldn't I jump off sides and hit Troy Aikman? You know, take him to the ground, maybe hurt his shoulder. I could have done that at any point. The center's over the ball. I could have jumped off sides and cleaned his clock, and that would have given me a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
They may have kicked me out of the game, but who cares? If I got Troy Aikman and I leave the game, guess who wins? We win because Troy Aikman's a much better player than I was.
That's such a slippery slope.
But did you ever? But you never did that.
No,
I mean, of course not.
No,
yeah, right,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, maybe it entered your mind, but something also in your mind then said, well, that's not right.
Well,
I'm not going to do that.
Of fair play,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And if a guy is sliding, you assume he's heading towards the ground. So you assume you're not going for his legs or his midsection. You're going for something of the shoulders and above. And to me, I think that's not a good take that you should be saying publicly.
It's kind of like the clowny hit on Wentz, too. I mean,
which
some
knocked
people
him
thought
out
that
of
was
the game.
Cheap hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no one wants to see Patrick Mahomes out of the Super Bowl. Come on.
No, not the fan. Well, the Niners fans do, but the rest of us don't.
Right. I mean, that's a factual statement. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
You know, the clowny hit, no matter what it wasn't penalized. Did he get fined
for it
afterwards?
No, it wasn't. I don't know, York, but that wasn't even a penalty.
I don't even think
game.
There was a fine for that afterwards.
There was not.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
know,
that
things
was
happened.
That was my point to Shea. I'm not advocating to hit him in the head 5 seconds after the whistle or beat Charles Martin. What I'm saying is,
yeah,
he's
that's
running
cheap. Yeah.
But that's
running,
exactly what he said.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did.
No,
a late hit. Yes, he did.
He said borderline as he's running near the sideline. He's going to try and get an extra yard. Bam!
Yeah,
drilled.
I don't know. He did kind of say, like, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
I kind of took it the way Shea took it. Doesn't he say at one point, like, are you willing to trade 15 yards or half the distance
said
to the goal?
Borderline.
Well,
he's going near the sideline. He never said 8 seconds after the whistle, blow him up.
I don't think the Niners are sitting in any of their defensive meetings. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, York sat in these meetings. I obviously didn't. We know there was a Bounty Gate scandal in the NFL. And I get it. Defensive coordinators are going to do what they have to do to try to fire up their guys. I can't imagine Saleh or any of the 49ers at any point being like, this is what we're going to do to Pat. I think they just know they're a badass defense, and they're going to play defense the way they've played all year.
If there's a shot, take it. That's what they'd say. If there's a shot to take, take it.
Okay.
And if there's not, you don't take it.
And that I get. Like, hey, you get a free run at the quarterback, make him feel it. Like, I understand that. That's football. It's still a physical, violent game. But I don't think at any point they're even approaching the subject the way Mike Florio approached it. Hey, guys, if maybe there's a borderline play, let's go ahead and we'll trade 15 yards. I don't think at any point the Niners are thinking that. I think they know they're a great defense, and they're going to play fast and physical the way they've played all year. And if somebody gets a free run on Patrick Mahomes, they're going to make sure Patrick Mahomes feels it. That's the way you play football, and I think that's the way they're going to approach it.
If you look at it, remember when Tannehill went for the run in the Sorensen kid? 49 for Kansas City, went and popped him and stopped him short when he was trying to get to the first down. Tannehill didn't play the rest of the game. That hit right there, I think, affected Tannehill the rest of the game.
You think so?
But that's the type of thing that you can do with a quarterback.
That was totally legal, right?
Of course it was. Absolutely.
Perfectly legal, perfectly clean. That was football. Yeah.
Yes, but he got his the cobwebs got loosened up in the brain.
That's the shot you're talking
about. That was
it
was a nice, clean shot. He was trying to run. He lowered his head. He tried to go through him. He didn't go through him at all.
Yes.
He got summarily dismissed and tossed onto the ground. But the rest of the way, he didn't seem as effective as he was before that.
That 49 had a good game last week.
We got to get out of your way. You guys have a fun show.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Yeah. Back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy all the snow. We'll see you Monday at 9 a.m.
This is Carmen and Yurko. A Football Friday live broadcast from Public House in River North.
That's a W.
This is ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Friday. We got just two Football Fridays left for the 2019 season. It's a truly awesome Football Friday.
That it is.
We are at Public House. So if you're in the city, come by and see us. The lunch crowd is building. We got a bucket of Trulies right here. We've got this really cool Truly neon sign, Truly Hard Seltzer neon sign that's on the bar right now here at Public House that we're going to give away. You can win it here.
Let's put that on the gram.
I'll put it on the gram.
Let's put that on the gram.
On the gram.
So everybody can see it. That's the beauty. I'll put it on Twitter so people can see exactly what we're giving away.
We definitely have to tweet a picture of that out.
Or it's a beauty.
It on the gram. Yeah, you can come by and win. So stop by and see us. We're on State Street just north of the river. We're going to be here for the next couple hours, hanging, doing some fun stuff. Yurko's got fish and chips. It smells delicious.
I do, and it is delicious.
Yeah, oh, man.
It's wonderful.
Driving me crazy over here.
Got some peppers here that have been cooked up a little bit, some good tartar sauce.
Yeah.
It's top notch. Got a Truly in front of me. It doesn't get any better on a Friday,
We're
going
to talk some White Sox. It's Sox Fest weekend.
It is.
I'm going tomorrow. I can't wait to check out the new venue and see what it's like. I mean, they sold out Sox Fest this year. There's some buzz about this team. Brooks Boyer, the marketing guru at the White Sox, will join us in about 30 minutes or so. Just talk about the weekend and maybe some of the upcoming things for the season, spring training, if you're going out to Glendale here in a few weeks. So we'll discuss all that. We got the Bulls tonight, Pro Bowl this weekend. Nobody really cares, but we'll talk some football. In fact, you've got not only do you have your fish and chips, you've got a letter in front of you.
I got a little something special. And are you a season ticket holder?
For?
Any team.
No.
You're not. Have you ever been a season ticket holder?
Season tickets? No.
Yeah, I've had White Sox season tickets in the past when they went to the World Series. I committed to the World Series or to the next year's season tickets, so I got the World Series games tickets.
I had an Aussie plan for a couple of years.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But I never had season tickets.
I also had Blackhawks season tickets. I am also a Packers season ticket holder.
Dude, you are.
Yeah.
You are amazing.
Right. So the worst letter you can get from any organization is when they decide they want to do a little something to your pocketbook.
Right.
Well, Sweaty Teddy Phillips was busy this week.
Uh-huh.
And Sweaty Teddy decided on Friday, the 24th of January, he was going to pop his guys with a little letter just explaining maybe what things are going to happen, what's going to be going on.
This is on official Bears letterhead?
Official Bears level letterhead. And it starts, Dear Valued Season Ticket Holder.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's going to happen here, right?
Yes, I know. They're buttering you up.
Right.
Hello, Valued Season Ticket Holder.
Yeah, thank you for helping us celebrate the 100th season. I'm not going to read it all.
It's a long letter.
I'm just going to kind of go through there and give you a little bit of the highlights.
I have a feeling I know where this is going. We stunk in 2019. Yeah. Well, I don't know about stunk, but we regressed to 8-8 and missed the playoffs.
Are we ready? Yeah. Analyze what went wrong and make the necessary corrections in 2020. Our goal is to bring a world championship back to Chicago. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are well into their preparations. They got the scouting combine. They got the start of the new NFL season. They got the draft party that they're going to be doing at Soldier Field on April 24th. They got it all. You know, they keep on going. They keep on riding. 2019 with exclusive pricing for season ticket holders using their mobile device that resulted in significant savings over the course of the season. This program, along with STH benefits, such as opportunities to hold the Bear Down flag during pregame. Oh, how exciting that is. And to visit Hallis Hall for private viewing events. Blah, blah, blah. The 2020, here we get to the crux of the matter.
Yes, now.
From Sweaty Teddy Phillips. The 2020 season ticket invoice will be provided in the coming weeks, and season ticket prices will be increased by an average of 3.9%.
Oh, so 4%.
Right under the 4%, boy, so you can't say 4%.
I can.
But you can say 3.9%.
I'll round up 4%. And 4% ticket increase on average.
We understand that you have options when it comes to spending discretionary income. But we hope your commitment to us stays the same.
So my brother's a season ticket holder.
Well, guess
one of my
what?
Brothers. So he got that letter.
Yeah, he's got less money to save for his children's future now.
Yeah, he's got three of them, too.
The Bears want to have it all.
At some point, he might think three colleges, you know, in 15 years. What's that going to cost? Might have to dump out after that 4%
raise. It's not just a 4% increase. It's also the quality of the product you're viewing on the field.
Sure.
And as of now, that quarterback situation is not going to change. And if the quarterback situation is not going to change, what do you have? What do you have? You
if
got
the quarterback situation doesn't change, I think it might be a struggle for the Bears to make the playoffs again.
We've
next
got
year.
Mediocrity. That's yes. what we have. We've got mediocrity heading straight for the Chicago Bears.
I think on the strength of their defense, they could still probably go out and compete and win 7-8 games. But I think without good quarterback play, they're going to have a tough time making the playoffs.
And they'll want the money by March 31st.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Games don't play until September, but they want your money now.
Jeez.
So they can sit on
it. Well, at least free agency will be about 2 weeks old, so maybe you'll get a good idea of
how they could change. My Packers season tickets aren't due until May.
Okay.
And yet they sit on them still for three, but at least they wait until May.
Why do they need it by March 31st?
That's when the deadline is, so they know who's going to commit to the tickets and who's not going to commit
to the tickets. What if the Bears, during the first week of free agency, announce Tom Brady as their quarterback for 2020?
I think people
then everybody will
be
happy to go ahead and put down the extra 4%.
Be more than happy to go ahead and put a little money down.
I'm still living in a fantasy land, like that's somehow possible.
Well, it is because he's going to be a free agent, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I think.
Now, if you're him, do you go?
Oh, he's a free agent.
Would you come to Chicago or go to Indianapolis?
I mean, Indianapolis.
Just a two-team comparison.
Indy.
He'd go to Indy. Why? Because they got a better offensive line.
They got
line.
A better line. They
he's
play,
not going to be on the run
they
forever.
They play indoors. Like, yes. that does matter a
of course
little bit,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
Absolutely.
You got
it
half
does.
Your home games out of the element. Yes. You know, he's never experienced that.
You're in Houston. You're in Tennessee. You're in Jacksonville
Boy,
for
yeah,
those games.
I mean, like, that's true. That's a good point. You really play a lot of nice weather games when you're in Indy, aren't you?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You play a road game at Houston. You know, the weather in Nashville is pretty good. The weather in Jacksonville, it might be hot, but it's always warm.
I mean, the only one that wants
games at home.
So the only one that wants to be in Chicago is Giselle.
Yeah, what is she going
to
do in
Giselle
Indy?
Giselle might be here, but she can always.
There's only so many times you go to St. Elmo's.
That's right, but she could always jet up to Chicago.
Yeah, it's only like
it's only 3 hours.
3 hour drive.
Yeah, it's 3 hour drive.
3.5 hour drive.
Indianapolis, she could always say, Tom, I'm leaving with the kids. We're going to go up to Chicago. We're staying at the, what's the beautiful hotel? The Four Seasons.
The Peninsula. Right near the Langham, right down the street from
Perfect.
Us.
Perfect. That's what I'm saying. She could do that.
Yeah.
So I'll see you next week. They go on the road.
They could buy a condo in the Langham.
They can do whatever they want.
Buy a floor, for crying out loud.
They can do whatever they want.
Do you really
think
that matters? I mean, like, for baseball players, we've learned it matters, right? The White Sox have missed out on a couple of guys because their wives don't want to come here for whatever reason. Isn't that the whole thing behind not getting Zach Wheeler, right? The wife wanted to stay close to the East Coast, so he had to go to the Phillies.
Yes.
Manny Machado's wife didn't really want to come here.
And yes.
Does that matter? Like, does she get a big say in all this?
Happy,
I don't want to go to Indy.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
What is she, Brazilian? Is that what she is?
She get a Brazilian? Is that what
you
asked
me? No. I said, is she? I'm sure she's got one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Is she Brazilian?
I believe so, yes.
So she gets a big say in it, huh? Like, Tom, I can't do a Brazilian accent.
I can't either. It's Portuguese, by the way.
Well, I know, but the accent, they speak Portuguese, but
yeah.
Like, I don't know how to best do that dialect, so I won't even
attempt
it.
So don't even try.
Like, does she get to say, no, Indy?
No.
We're not going to Indy. We're not going to Indianapolis.
And Tom's going to say yes, because they got Quentin Nelson. Yeah. And they could protect me better than I got.
What about L.A.?
Quentin Nelson, like, or Charles Leno?
Does she want to be in L.A.? Does she push him towards Los
Angeles? I'm only offering you two teams. That's it.
Yeah.
So between two teams, I'm not even offering the rest of the NFL. If by chance, by some sort of miracle, he decides it's either Chicago or Indianapolis, my point is Indianapolis is much more appealing for the football player, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's a better team, better offensive line.
It might be a better team right now, although I think the Bears' defense is better. And maybe that's appealing. It's all silly.
What's appealing is not being hit and knocked on your ass 20 times a game. That's what's appealing.
What I'm hoping happens is that, remember we joked about this a few weeks ago when Wiederer and Potash were with us for the Bears Roundtable? I said, come on, Wiederer, make another wager. Make a proclamation like you did. Yeah, there's no way Khalil Mack's coming here. I'll do a show with my shirt off. And I said, come on, do it again with Tom Brady. And he's like, no, I'm not going down that road.
Yeah.
But it just seems so unlikely. But getting Khalil Mack seemed pretty unlikely before it happened. The build-up to that whole thing seemed pretty unlikely. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy. I'll still allow myself to, like, I'll entertain the notion just a little bit. Somewhere in my head it's rolling around that, like, God, can you imagine if Tom Brady does leave New England and he looks at the Bears and he says, you can figure out a way to give me 30 schmil and you got that defense? Yeah, I'll come play there.
Listen,
I don't know. The whole thing seems crazy.
I don't know if I'm overly critical or too critical of Ryan Pace because he went to Eastern Illinois.
I think you're overly critical.
I never want to look at, you know, I never want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You hold him to a high standard.
Because of the association, yeah. I think I might do it a little bit over the top, and for that I would apologize. But there are moves to be made this offseason with your own roster where you could save some money. And we'll see what the intentions of the Chicago Bears are with what they do with their own roster before you get to March 18th, before those moves get executed.
Yeah.
And you've got young players here that might be able to replace players that are making much more money. And if you start making some of those moves, then I think we're going to be set up for an offseason where people are going to have smiles on their faces.
All right, if you want to join us at any point today, hit us up on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64. Ring us up at 312-332-3776. That's 312-332-ESPN. It's as simple as that. I mentioned Brooks Boyer in about 20 minutes. Sox Fest is this weekend. Some Sox news and notes I want to talk with Yurko about coming up next. Come and see us today. We are live with Truly Hard Seltzer for a truly awesome Football Friday at Public House in the city.
This is Carmen and Yurko, a Football Friday live broadcast from Public House in River North. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Only two Football Fridays are left, today and then next Friday before Super Bowl 54 at Twin Peaks and Oakbrook Terrace. We're downtown today. We don't get to do this in the city much.
No.
It's great to see the lunch crowd here just north of the Loop. We are on State Street at Public House with Truly Hard Seltzer. It's a truly awesome Football Friday, so come by and see us today. It's also Sox Fest weekend. We're going to talk to Brooks Boyer from the White Sox in about 10, 15 minutes. The Pro Bowl is this weekend. Some people like to wager on it. They say, hey, it's still a money-making opportunity. Do your homework. Figure it out. Go ahead and make a play. Since they went back to this format of the conferences facing each other, the AFC has won three in a row. The totals have been much lower, and we've seen Vegas adjust in the last couple years. Did you know that the total for the Super Bowl is higher than the total for the Pro Bowl?
I did not know that.
True story. The total in the Super Bowl is 54. The total for Sunday is 51.
It used to be if you bet the over in the Pro Bowl, it was an automatic lock.
Not anymore.
No.
The last three have all been under 50.
Right. It became much more competitive.
So maybe there's your angle. That's the best advice I can give you. Mike and I are going to have the odds couple tonight from 6 until 7 here on ESPN 1000. We will discuss that a little. Mike's got his best play, his bonus Carmen and Yurko play at 145 today. But, yeah, the trends recently have been play the under. I just don't like betting on the Pro Bowl. I won't watch a second of it.
It's an exhibition.
I know. No, never. They used to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I've been to the Pro Bowl. I never went to the game itself, but I've been in Hawaii during Pro Bowl week.
We went 1 year when I was working at my previous company.
In Hawaii?
Sporting, yes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. They don't care. They'll do whatever you want, basically. They're great.
Wouldn't it be nice if that were the case all the time? It's kind of like spring training. You know, it's like the best time to be around baseball players. And you're in Hawaii.
Well, yeah. You know, when I used to be in training camp, it was easy to pull over and sign autographs first week. Then the second week.
And a little bit more of a nuisance.
A little bit more arduous.
Yeah.
Then the third week after doubles and you had a intense goal line drill where the coaches were screaming at you because out of 10 plays they scored 5 times. And you're getting yelled at and mauled, and then the practice is over. You're hot, sweaty, you got to lift. And now all of a sudden you got little Chucky with a Yurko jersey on, and you got to go over there and you got to sign him even though you're a miserable bastard at the time. So that's what it gets to. But we used to switch off every once in a while. The offense would sign or the light guys would sign and the big guys would lift. And then we'd come out in the afternoon, the big guys would sign and the light guys had to lift. Light, small
light lifting,
guys.
Yes. Yerk, should the expectation be that the White Sox make the playoffs in 2020? I mean, Ricky Renteria is talking about it like, hey, we should make the playoffs. I'm going to be disappointed if we don't.
So the question then you're asking me, do they go from 72 to 92? 92.
Boy, I mean, it seems so unlikely that you can make that kind of a jump in 1 year, even with everything they did.
But that's what you have to do. You got to go from 72 to 92. Are you more competitive in your division? Can you take those games against Minnesota?
Right.
What were you, 14-4 or 4-14 against Minnesota last year?
I'd have to look.
4-15 against Minnesota? You've got to play well in your own division.
Yes, you do.
You got to beat Cleveland. You got to dominate the bad teams. You're the one that's got to go 14-4 against Kansas City.
In Detroit.
And you got to beat Detroit.
Yeah.
You got to be able to pound those teams and at least break even with the teams that are better than you are right now. And right now, Minnesota and Cleveland, I think, are both picked to be have better numbers.
Although Cleveland,
they've got better numbers in Vegas.
Cleveland at some point could end up trading away Lindor. Like, they could look dramatically different, you know?
If I had to predict, I think they fall short. Because I think the wild card, Cleveland didn't make the playoffs last year, did they?
Cleveland missed the playoffs last year.
Right, 93 wins, they missed the playoffs. The number in the American League is 95. You need to get to 95 to be the second wild card.
The Sox went 6-13 against Minnesota, Yurko.
It's got to be better.
It's got
to be much better. Same thing against every single team in your division. Your numbers have got to be better. And that's the crux of your games, right? 419, 419. It's 76 games.
Yeah, 93 and 69 was Cleveland, and they were on the outside looking in, and it wasn't even particularly close because Oakland won 97 games as a wild card, and Tampa won 96 games as a wild card.
Harm, as I've said before, do you believe this team's capable then to go to that number? And I say 95.
Boy,
just to say it could be 95.
That's crazy.
So
the
point is, I think they fall short. I think they learn how to win. I think they make more improvements next year. I think you get another year of maturation out of your young guys. Madrigal, Robert.
I mean, those guys haven't even played in the bigs yet.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You know, like.
So you learn how to win this year. You get to 84, 85
right.
wins.
And then
it's
next
well
year.
Short of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you're a winning baseball team.
But you're a winning team.
You're a winning baseball team.
And maybe you're right. I mean, Madrigal and Robert haven't played in the big leagues yet. And I'm glad that, like, the anticipation is high, the expectation is very high for both of them, and especially with Luis Robert, after what he did in the minor leagues last year, he was one of the great players in minor league baseball last year. Like, we still got to see it, and they're going to have to go through their ups and downs over the course of the year. Like, my attitude might change come September if they're winning the division and then they collapse. I mean, that happened, in 2012, I want to say, Robin's first year, and that was upsetting. Nobody really expected them to compete. Then they did, and then they missed the playoffs because they collapsed in the final 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and it was upsetting. Like, my attitude might change 5 months from now, 6 months from now, but I would be very happy. Like, sitting here today on January 24, I could say, man, if they win 84 games, that's a huge step in the right direction for the White Sox.
I like to have expectations going into the season, and then I reassess at the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
A nice reassessment at the All-Star break to see what's happening. Even last year with the Cubs, I reassessed. I thought the Cubs were going to be okay. Thought the Cubs were going to be fine based on previous evidence of August and September's being pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, not even pretty good. They were exceptional for 3 years under Madden. In the last 2 years, they evened off in the month of August and September.
A little bit,
In September, they really collapsed playing 500 baseball. You play 500 baseball in September when a lot of teams have already given up. That's no good.
15,
and it's
16,
cost them twice.
15, 16, and 17, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
remember?
It was out of this
I mean,
world.
They were winning like 71% of their games or something.
Unsustainable.
It was insane.
Yeah, unsustainable.
You're probably right. Danny Zetterman asked me this morning. I saw Danny in the office when I got in, and I knew it was a topic for their show because they talked about it on their show, but I knew they must have been thinking about it because Danny said, hey, don't eat carbs. No, I'm just kidding. I always have a donut on Fridays. That's like the one day of the week, right, where I...
You deserve it.
Yeah, like I feel like I've earned it throughout the course of the week, right?
Surprise,
I have a donut.
Surprise it wasn't a cannoli.
And Danny's become very good about just biting his tongue. He doesn't say anything. He kind of wants to, but he's like, nope, go ahead, enjoy your donut. I'm not going to touch a donut, but you go ahead and you enjoy your donut, Carm. Like, you know, so he doesn't judge as much anymore, which I appreciate. He's like, go ahead, enjoy yourself, enjoy your donut. And he didn't take any shots at me about the carb I was going to ingest or the sugar. But he did say, hey, who's the face of your baseball team? And I said, ah, it's a good question. You know, I mean, I think it's Tim Anderson. I mean, who else would
it
really?
For me, it's Jose Abreu.
But you know, like, Cap makes
for
a
me,
point. Cap makes
for
a
me
point.
It
like,
is.
How much do you hear Jose Abreu talk? He doesn't. His English isn't great.
You want to talk Cuban to him? You said the face.
Cuban, Spanish,
not the voice.
No, I know, but is
the face of your team is Jose Abreu?
But Abreu, like, Abreu is almost like Harold Baines. His face never changes. Have you ever seen Jose Abreu get emotional? Have you ever seen Jose Abreu ever smile or frown? He just basically walks around with that little dip in his lip, going, and I know this is radio and you can't see me. The only face Jose Abreu makes is this. Here, put it on the grammar.
Who's? Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, that's the face Jose Abreu makes. Like, how is he the face of the White Sox?
Who was the face of the 05 White Sox? Be careful with your answer here.
It's a good question.
I'll tell you why, because you had multiple faces.
I would say, like,
Go, I'll give you
Burley, Konerko,
Brzezinski,
AJ.
AJ because of the way he played and his style of play.
Even Creedy a little bit. For like as mellow and low-key as Creedy, Creedy was, remember, Joe Creedy was the play some effing journey guy. You know, like he came out of his shell a little bit
that time. Frank Thomas was kind of the
he was hurt. Yeah.
Wasn't there. Aaron Rowan was another one of your guys.
Rowan, I would say.
The
like
ball really popped off of his bat.
Jermaine Dye was another one of those quiet guys. He didn't say much. You know, like Creedy kind of came out of his shell that year. Bobby Jenks came late.
Midway.
He came late that year. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, let's ask Brooks Boyer that question. Who does he think the face of his team is? The marketing guru for the White Sox will talk about the upcoming year and really Sox Fest this weekend with us a little bit. We'll play some of the best of the Mike Holmgren interview we had yesterday just after 1 o'clock. We are live at Public House. It's a truly awesome Football Friday, so come by and see us.
This is Carmen and Yurko. A Football Friday live broadcast from Public House in River North.
That's a W.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko, I haven't been to Sox Fest or Fan Fest in general, and I feel like quite some time. I'm going to go to Sox Fest for a little bit tomorrow in the afternoon. I'm taking my son.
White Sox Con.
White Sox Con, is that what they're calling
like
it?
Like Comic-Con?
White Sox Con. White Sox Con. It's a new venue this year. It's at McCormick Place.
Oh, nice.
Well, boy, they'll roll from this right into auto show coming up here before you
know it. That's right. We got the auto show coming to town.
I love going to the auto show.
Did you go to the charity function they have the night before that it opens up?
The auto show? No, yeah. I've never been to that. The gala before? No.
It's a black tie
event.
Yeah,
I'll be at a black tie gala in 2 weeks, actually. It's like the one time a year I bust out the tux. You know, when they say black tie optional, I'm like, I'm putting my tux on, man. How often do you wear your tux? And I bought a tux.
Yeah, you bought
years
one.
Ago.
Yeah, I own a tux.
Because I figured, you know, like we just do some emceeing for charity events that sometimes require a black tie and things like that, or a fancy wedding. So like 5 years ago, I finally said, why don't I just buy a tuxedo? I bought a tux for like $500. I mean, that's a couple of rentals, right?
Yes.
So you know. Yes. Now that I own a tux, I figure, hey, gotta bust it out when it's a black tie event. So no black tie for Sox Fest this weekend. We're going to go casual. Brooks Boyer, who we like to just call the marketing guru of the Chicago White Sox.
An idea man.
He's an idea man. Unfortunately, MLB has put them all under a gag order. They're not allowed to talk about the Astros cheating scandal. We had a great trash can idea, but Brooks can't talk about that.
And I can't talk about Oscar the Grouch tonight, where he comes in a garbage can.
No.
I think we could skirt the rules right there.
We can talk about other things. Sox Fest this weekend, and we welcome Brooks to the program now here. He joins Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Brooksy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, guys. Always nice to talk about Sox Fest and find a reason to not go on the show and blame MLB for it.
Right, exactly. Like you did last week. That's smart. I like it. This is a great weekend. I mean, there's more buzz about this than there's been in a long time. Let's face it, Brooks. And that's got to make you excited and make you feel good.
Well, it makes our fans excited. That makes us feel good is when, you know, a plan has been transparently communicated, which, you know, it was. That, you know, when these guys, these young guys, this young core of players get to the either in the big leagues or on the cusp of being in the big leagues, it would be supplemented with veteran talent. And I think Rick went out and said at the beginning of the year, two pitchers, a designated hitter, address right field, address how we're going to get the ball to Colome at the end, and we've been able to do that. So, yeah, excitement is really high. Expectations are high, and that's a great place to be when you're a professional baseball team.
Is it easy, or maybe not easy, I don't think anything in your business is easy, but is it fun when you've got a young team that's got some charismatic figures on it, like Tim Anderson? Even Aloy, Aloy speaks English quite well, and he's got the smile, and he's got all the potential. Like, is it fun when you've got these young guys that you can kind of build your marketing plan around?
Yeah, it's a blast. And you know, look, the best marketing plans always start with a great product. And
yeah.
We know what White Sox fans want. I mean, White Sox want us to be relevant into September and be relevant in October, and to have a window that is open for quite some time. Now, the fact that we have players that people can really like. I mean, Eloy is he plays the game. You know, it's a kid's game, and he plays it like a kid, which is the highest compliment you can give someone, because he just appreciates playing the game and getting the opportunity to play a game. You know, Luis Robert is a player that I think fans are going to attach themselves to really quickly by the way he plays. But you can go right down the line of Lucas Giolito, Tim Anderson. You know, we don't know Dallas Keuchel yet. If he's someone that the fans, you know, is he a Mark Burley like fan attraction that people just like these guys? You know, you go into the Jose Abreus, Yasmani Grandals. It's great to be able to bring to our fans what these players are all about, and for our fans to hear them and see them. And my sense is when you like somebody, it makes it a lot easier to root for them. So yes, it makes my job a lot easier, and it makes it a ton of fun because these are really good guys.
Is there a face of the franchise right now, Brooks?
Now, look, if there's a face of the franchise, it's arguable. And I think that still has to play out. Certainly right now, Tim Anderson won a batting title.
Yep.
He's himself. There's no apologizing for anything that he does on the field, and he's passionate. He plays a lot of passion. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, you look at our marketing campaign, we talk about changing the game. This is a guy that's changed the game. And, you know, so I would think probably TA right now, but he's not one that needs to hold on to that, because we've got guys like Eloy that are going to be game changers. You know, we Yoan Moncada, we haven't even talked about. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that evolves. And one of the storylines of the year is who is that clubhouse leader that takes those reins? It'll be really interesting.
Brooks Boyer from the White Sox is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Sox Fest this weekend at McCormick Place. Talk about the new venue and what fans can expect this weekend, Brooks.
Well, you know, I'm standing outside McCormick Place West right now, and it's different. I will say it's different, a cool different. And when it's in a hotel, you've got the escalators up and down into smaller rooms, and you're walking around trying to find the different places. This is all in one room. It's 100,000 square feet. I mean, it's, you know, we're on a football field in here, and I just think it's really cool to see all the autograph stages. You can see everything throughout, and you know, we will have the same seminars. I think people will be able to stay in tune to the seminars throughout the space. So it's a lot of fun. We've tried our best to bring the ballpark experience to McCormick Place. We're really excited. And we're going to break it right here. We're going to be announcing in about 10 minutes a new White Sox Gold Nail with Goose Island. That I think everyone's going to like. They're going to get a chance to have it for the first time here at Sox Fest.
Wow.
So we got a lot of great things going on.
So is that a beer that's going to be at the park for the season, you mean?
It will be at the park and at retail.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'll let your listeners decide. I will say this is the coolest beer can in Chicago, that people will probably display this beer can in their offices and at home. It's that cool.
No kidding. That's kind of nice. We got a little scoop on that. That's about to be unveiled. I dig that. Yeah. What else?
Guys, you got some former players coming back?
Yeah,
some guys people want to see?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, when you talk about Hall of Fame talent, luckily we're loaded with it. And Tim Raines is here. We've got Frank Thomas, Harold Baines. You look at Bo Jackson's going to be coming through. Our broadcasters are here. There's a big number of people that are going to be through here, including our coaches, our young players, the new guys. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is the expectation from, like, can you feel it from within the club, from the baseball ops side, that this is a year where you guys maybe not make the playoffs, but certainly are right there kind of knocking on the door in September?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it is, you know, we're not saying World Series are bust. I mean, a lot of our fans would like to say World Series are bust, but this is part of the process. This is part of what we anticipated. And, you know, there are still some guys that we think are going to be core pieces now that are still developing in the minors. But with the additions that Rick has made, has put us in a position to be relevant for longer. And you know, baseball is a crazy game, and you know, things can happen. And you know, I'll borrow the line of, it's not linear. You don't know what's going to happen from one season to the other, but the expectations are real. The expectations internally, you know, are that, you know, we are in our process of pivoting and changing into a team that is competitive for quite some time. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting around the ballpark.
All right, Brooks, you got any plans to utilize the power of Carmen and Yurko in anything we've got going on this year?
Like on the field? No.
Yeah, well, Carmen's already Carmen's already committed to the Harold Baines plan. Three games,
yes,
and he can't say a word.
At least.
And he can't say a word.
Very funny, yes.
You know, Yurko, let's remember, at one point you were a season ticket holder for your beloved Chicago White Sox, and I'm just wondering if you're ready to announce that you have picked up a plan yet.
That's right, Yurko.
My children love the Chicago White Sox. I want you to know that.
I love it.
My boys, my daughter, they're all White Sox fan. Their grandfather brainwashed them when they were youngsters.
Good.
Right away into it. And I'm thinking about committing to the Paul Konerko plan, the 14-game plan, where you have to run the bases in under 24 seconds so you can beat Paul Konerko.
Under 24?
Yeah, 24 seconds to go around the bases.
It took him 44, I think, to get around those bases. Plus, you guys have the Yankee. You guys have the Yankee game in Iowa this summer too, right, Brooks?
Yeah, that's obviously going to be something that is so unique and so cool. To pop up a big league ballpark right by the set of Field of Dreams. A lot of work on MLB's part is going into that. Even though it is one of our home games, that is a Major League Baseball production. So just like they've done at Fort Bragg, you know, they're popping the stadium up. I think it's going to be really cool to see, you know, the players come out of the corn and play a big league game. But it's just how unique is that? It's really cool. We're really excited to be part of it.
Brooks, have a great weekend. We'll see you out there, and thanks for joining us, all right?
All right, go Sox. Appreciate you guys.
See you, buddy. Right, that's Brooks Boyer, the marketing guru from the Chicago White Sox. Come by and see us. We're at Public House. It's a truly awesome Football Friday, and we're back in 2 minutes.